10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! It's the Punk News Podcast, brand new end of year, beginning of year podcast special where we wrap up the year and talk about the year and talk about what's happening and play some of our favorite tracks from the year. Happy 2021. Let's make this the best year ever. Punk News Podcast episode 523.
All?
No, all!
And welcome back to the Punk News Podcast. And this is the end of year, start of the year special. Yesterday was the end of Yule, which I recently learned Yule is actually an ancient pagan holiday that predates Christmas that was kind of converted into the Christmas holiday. Yule is actually probably a bastardization of Wotan, which of course is Odin, FYI. There's your pagan history for the week. And the reason I'm giving you pagan history because I recently was talking to an artist that is deeply involved in pagan history, and it bummed me out. But listen, people, we're not here to be bummed out this week. We're here to have fun. And honestly, like, it's been chaos week in the US of A this week, and I kind of wanted to talk about it, but you know what? Let's talk. A lot of political pundits are talking about a lot of things. We're not going to solve anything on the podcast. We are going to address all the wackiness of the week, including a certain rapscallion that was involved in some things that honestly, wasn't that surprising. And we'll talk about that next week. And also, you guys sent us some really cool emails last week, and we are going to read them. So thank you for sending them. We actually got some really, really cool emails. And there's a very low-flying plane driving very slow past my house right now. Anyways, we got those cool emails. So thank you for sending those. You can reach all you at podcast@punknews.org. But this week, it's the end of year special. We're just going to do super quick intros. First of all, Adam White, end of year, beginning of year special. Are you ready to rock?
John, I don't know how to handle anything right now. Just sensory overload. I'm refreshing things. I have like 50 browsers open. I don't know if I'm accomplishing anything. I'm using up power. So I guess that's helping the economy. That's all I got.
Adam, you know, I have a specific question for you because you're a computer guy and a nerd like me. I was watching Star Trek The Next Generation today, and Data, like, needed to learn something really quickly. So he, like, reads really quickly, you know? And I'm thinking, well, why wouldn't he just plug himself into the computer and download the information? But then I thought, well, maybe, like, different spaceships have different ports. So it is the most efficient for him to read stuff as opposed to downloading info. What do you think, Adam?
I'm basically getting through the pandemic by watching a lot of Star Trek, and there's the further back that you go, there's a lot of strange like IT assumptions that show up in those shows that are sort of based on what people understood at the time. I love seeing computer screens, the interfaces and stuff like that, or like someone will walk into the room with like an armful of basically iPads that they kind of predicted, and they called them pads, but they would never assume that you would get more than one thing on a given pad. So someone will walk into a room with like 12 of them in their arms, like drop them on the table and in a big clutter and be like, look at all this information. And this is because they could only put like one thing on one device. And that was just how it worked. And God, I love
it. So they're basically eight tracks.
Yeah, essentially.
Or like books.
Yeah. John, did you ever think that maybe Data enjoys the process of reading the physical material? Like personally, I won't read off an e-reader. Now, granted, I'm a grizzly old bastard at this point, but maybe Data just enjoys, you know, the feel of the paper in his hands.
And that's Tom Trauma. However,
of course, he's a robot, I guess. But I don't know. Whatever. I'm not a Star Trek person.
I'm surprised that Tom even knows who Data is. So maybe Tom is a Star Trek person.
My parents, believe it or not, John, are Star Trek people. I am not.
Your parents are like freaking, like your parents are like younger than you are, which is like weird.
they're in their mid to late 60s. Yes, they're pretty young considering that I'm, you know, very
old. Speaking of pretty young, we are here with M. Moore. M. Moore, it's been a big year for you with Punk News. You really stepped in. You fired it up. Are you ready for this? Is your first end of your podcast, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I'm excited.
Nice. And we are also here with Hallie Bullet. Hallie Bullet, what's happening? Are you ready to podcast it up and talk about all of your end of year picks?
Yeah, I am. Although I have so much that I want to like talk about and play because I feel like this is like the place I get to like, this is the episode where I get to dump all the stuff that I just somehow like didn't talk about for the whole year, but I'm gonna try to self-edit so that I don't keep us here all night.
Hallie, one thing that we do not do at Punk News is self-edit.
Adam's like, well, I'm not gonna do that.
Right, Adam? I i.e. our 5 hour episode 500, i.e. our literal 25,000 word interview with Jello Biafra, where he just talked about like obscure politics that no one cares about. Listen, editing is not what we do here. Just look at who runs this podcast, myself and Adam White. Adam White, play some
John, to add to that, I read your review of Towel Cross, and I think it's long enough to be a doctoral thesis at some of your smaller colleges.
We could talk about that on this podcast. I'm really annoyed about that whole thing.
My point was more it was very, very long. I wonder how many of us actually made it to the end.
Well, I had to step extremely carefully with that review, and maybe we'll talk about the next episode or something, you know. But anyways, Adam White, we're not being careful now. We're kicking out the jams. Kick out three jams, Adam. Well, it better be hot. It better be fierce.
This fits the whole ethos of this show so far, which is the complete lack of self-editing. So I wasn't going to do a Year Endless at all at Punkins this year because I didn't feel up to it. I wasn't keeping notes. I wasn't even going through the motions of trying to write one. And then it got to like 2 days before we were going to publish one. And I was like, oh God, I have to, it's the 20th one in a year that I've done. So I did. And it was 6,000 words plus, John. It just kept going and it was enormous. And it was,
I approve, Adam.
And it was completely self-indulgent in a way that really, I think, fits our lack of editing or in self-control themes here. So, all right, I'm gonna play three songs that show up on that list that happened within the year. Three songs that I think are each sort of like thematically interesting. If you want to take a look at kind of what's going on in the year. So, the final song that you are going to hear on of what I'm going to play is from a band from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, called Antibodies, which is, I guess, I mean, it's thematically appropriate because we're all trying not to die, right? But anyways, Antibodies are, I think, a good representative of what's happening out on Canada's East Coast right now, which has become, in my little corner of the universe, a pretty big story over the past year and a half, is that there's a ton of really cool punk that is coming out of places like New Brunswick and Halifax and Nova Scotia and PEI right now. And all of it is super lo-fi and super grimy and super loud and just really, just from an iconography standpoint, really fucking punk and cool. And to me, it is the most interesting punk that's at least coming out of my particular country right now. And it is, none of it is poppy in any which way, shape, or form. So it is, it's kind of got that going for it, where like no one that is outside of like the scuzzy hardcore universe is going to give any shit about this stuff, but I like it. It's cool. So Antibodies, they didn't have a release this year outside of a few charity songs. This one is called Petro State. It was released, what was this before? This was a benefit for, the Eunice Stoughton camp, which is an indigenous protest against oil pipelines that are being brought out from Alberta to the west coast of Canada. So that was a big deal for those of us up here. That was our big big summer social cause was supporting them and supporting that. So this was a benefit for that, but it's pretty cool. It really talks about how, you know, Canada sucks in a lot of ways and not enough people talk about it. So anyways, I'm going to play Petro State by Antibodies. Before that, I'm going to play a song from Daniel Romano called Laura Doesn't Like Her Haircut. This is a song that came out in an EP he released called Super Pollen. This EP was him, was his brother, Ian played drums for the latest incarnation of Career Suicide. And it also features Mike Halichuk and Jonah Falco of Fucked Up, who were basically the Jade Hairpins and of Fucked Up. They're on here. It is a super fun little pop punk number, and it is one of 11 records that Danny released over the course of the year. A lot of artists kind of went into isolation and just had to grind through it. It was not a fruitful thing for a lot of artists because it was suffocating and isolating, of course, and not very fun, and not very very spurning of the creative juices. But Danny is sort of a space alien, so he went and got into a barn in Welland, Ontario, and recorded like 11 fucking records, and they're all pretty good. So I'm going to play that. And then the first song that I'm going to play for you is a song from one of my favorite ongoing bands in the world right now, which is Tough Age. The song is called My Life's a Joke and I'm Throwing It Away. It is off the band's new record that came out on Mint this year, which is called Which Way Am I? It's their fourth record. It's the second with the current lineup that they have. And it continues their sort of weird evolution from being a garagey pop punk band to being a, I'm not even sure what you would call their genre right now. Basically a band that has this dual obsession with the Flying Nun Records sound, these Dunedin bands like The Clean, and also a big influence of like Television and the Feelies and all of this like New York post-punk. So anyways, so there you go. You're going to hear Tough Age. You're going to hear Dan Romano with some members of Fucked Up, and then you're going to hear Antibodies, and I'm going to stop talking. There you go.
was Adam White with his picks. So let's get into our hot discussion. The big question, first of all, is we usually kind of like look back at 2020 and talk about how it affected us. Hallie Bullitt, can we even sum up 2020? Should we even bother trying to sum up 2020 or how it affected us? Or is it just too big to describe on a wee little podcast?
I mean, like, do you mean, like, can I, could each of us sum it up for ourselves, or could we try to sum it up as, like, what it's been, the, what the experience has been like, for all?
Both.
Yeah. I mean, I think actually, like, one thing that's so crazy about it is how different people's experiences have been, you know, because there's some people that are still, like, still working, maybe from home, but they're still working. And then there's some people that like their jobs just disappeared. Like all my performer friends, like their jobs just like don't exist right now. So I feel like that's one thing that's like kind of mind bending about the whole thing is just how different people's experiences of it are. I mean, I think from a music standpoint, I think maybe a lot of us, I shouldn't speak for everyone, but I feel like what I keep hearing in general when people are talking about music is just everyone's shocked at how much good music came out this year. Because, you know, when, you know, March and April rolled around and we all started to realize what was happening, I think all of us thought that it was going to be like a year like devoid of like a lot of new great art. And there just was so much. So I wonder if that's like, in terms of like this podcast and things we talk about and like our experiences as music lovers, I feel like maybe that's a thing that everyone has in common, but I feel like our experiences in terms of everything else have been like pretty different. What do you think?
You know, you actually bring up a great point. And I remember when COVID started, actually, I remember when Trump got elected, and we'll try to keep the political discussion to a minimum this week as much as we can, but we can't not talk about it at all. People were like, the first thing was people like, there's going to be a lot of great punk. And then like the response was, that's kind of a bullshit thing to say, because there's going to be a lot of suffering. So a lot of great punk is small consolation. That being said, there was a lot of great punk. And I'm not saying that makes everything okay, but as Hallie says, it really just seemed like a lot of artists use the time wisely, both studio recording wise, but also like live session and stuff. And honestly, a lot of fantastic music came out. For me, I usually like to get a good mix of old bands and new bands. But for me, because I like wasn't out at the shows seeing that they hit new stuff, for me, almost all my favorite stuff was veterans. And honestly, like the veterans really kicked ass this year. And I think maybe the newbies did too, but they weren't able to get as much exposure just because they weren't able to move. And that's how those smaller bands get known. So I think for me, it was the year of the veterans, not necessarily the newbies. And that's not to the fault of the newbies. It's just that's just how the system worked this year. Em, agree or disagree?
It's funny because I had the opposite. It was I wanted to find like newer bands and smaller bands, and I was like looking at different things like on the internet, and then I found a bunch of like really, really cool bands and tried to highlight them and listen to them as much as I could. And there was a lot of like, there's bands I haven't listened to before, or I've listened to and haven't really like been able to do a deep dive on them. So I did that this year for like quite a few bands, and that was really interesting too. But yeah, like music was the saving grace this year, like hands down.
Tom, do you feel as though music helped you get through the year, or is that a overstated statement to the effect that, well, what got me through the year was, you know, not going insane, but how important was music to you this year, Tom?
I know it's a cliche, John, but it really was there's a few things obviously that got me through the year. I'm fortunate in that my job is very secure, like literally impossible to outsource. But man, I listened to a ton of music. I had some changes in the way I did my job, so I was able to listen to a lot of music, and I find myself like listening to a lot of the stuff from when I was like 15 and 16 years old, which is like the late 80s for those of you keeping track at home. And it was important to me, man. I listened to a lot of cool new stuff, but even most of the new stuff I listened to was by geezer bands, I will admit. Very few kids I'm listening to these days. But I think it was super important. Music, booze, and family. The three cornerstones of American life.
Adam, I've seen you've been doing a lot of like those Facebook videos where you're like, look at this Ramones record I have, and then playing the Ramones record and like standing there while people watch you play Ramones record. How important was
– Oh, I must not be getting Adam in my feed. Why am I not getting Adam in my feed? I don't see that. But sorry, go ahead.
Adam, how important was music for you this year? And was it the year of the newbies, the year of the veterans, or is that a false – not dichotomy. Is the dichotomy the right word? A false setup.
I'm trying to be hip with children, so I am now like taking Instagram pictures whenever I have a record on the record player. So I think that's what you're seeing. I definitely have not been performatively dancing in front of my player or whatever you're implying. But I mean that's been an interesting wrinkle to this whole thing is that I've spent a good majority of my life this year in the room that I record this podcast, which is not typical. Like usually I would maybe like not enter into on a given week last year, I would maybe have not entered into the room where my record player and all my stuff is outside of when we would record this show. But right now that's my home office because we have been, you know, locked down out of our other one. So I've had this like strangely fortunate experience of being stuck next to my records and my record player, you know, day in and day out. And it's meant I've played a ton more vinyl this year than I have ever. And there's no excuse. Like there's been no, you know, I've had no commute. I've had nowhere else to go. I've been here. So that's been super interesting. The one thing that's been really, really weird from a music standpoint this year that I don't think that isn't captured anywhere, that isn't in my best of list or any of that stuff is we, and I think Tom sort of alluded to this, is that we've done a ton of nostalgia listening this year, like stuff from when we were
comfort food, right? Like
my wife and I just started making this massive playlist of stuff that is like the stuff, like the music that was kind of like the hit, the stuff we listened to on the radio when we were, you know, 14, 15, 16. And for us, it's like, you know, early to mid 90s stuff that's in there. But like, we've been listening to a ton of like, it's like a ton of like, kind of like a Nirvana and garbage and just like all these bands from that we listened to then. We've been digging around and trying to find, like, we were going through Apple Music's decades playlists for a while to try to like find all these one hit wonders that we kind of remembered, you know, like we'd be sitting around being like, what was that song by, you know, where the video had all the people and they were like,
where's Harvey Danger? Well, I love Harvey Danger.
There's no Harvey Danger on Apple Music in Canada. It's really driving me nuts. But not so much the fact that I can't find Flagpole Sitter right now. But like we were sitting around the other day and we were like, what was the band? They had that video where like the obsessive fan had the band all like either dead or tied up and they were in the house and she kept kind of like going about her business and every once in a while the camera would pan over and there was one of the band members. And the song was like, Fastball or something like that. Like it was one of these bands that.
Oh yeah. Right? And the road that they walked on was paved in gold. Something. They never get old. It's about like this couple that just abandoned their children and hit the road. It was called The Way or something like that, right?
I'm misremembering what it was right now, but that is the kind of conversations and things that we've been having.
They packed up their bags and something, you know, behind
sitting
them.
Around anyway, trying to relive these basically this comfort food from when we were teenagers and we were really first being
explicit. Man, Adam, I am so glad that my comfort food was like "And Justice for All" by Metallica, not "Flagpole Sitter" by Harvey Danger.
The fastball song that I'm talking about is called "Fire Escape." So don't write us emails.
But
in any case, like it's been stuff like that, or like we'll be sitting around and like you know, listening to like Gin Blossom singles or something like that because
Third Eye Blind and John's favorite Third Eye Blind.
We haven't gone down the Third Eye Blind route yet, but it's like that kind of shit where it's
dude, not, if you find yourself singing along to the Spin Doctors, punch yourself in the face, yeah, please.
Like it's where it's not even particularly good, but it's just like it's making us feel good. And so that has been like a giant portion of, at least from the family standpoint, the kind of stuff that we're listening to this year. And I can't imagine that has any, like the only cause of that is the kind of like crappy isolation of life right now.
And if you step back from that ledge, my friend, I will understand. Hal, here's something that I was wondering if you understand. Kill that segue. Howie boy.
No.
You said a lot of great records came out this year, and they did. What were some things that really blew your mind, and was there a surprise hit or surprise? Did something come out of left field, and you're like, oh my God, I didn't think this was going to come out this year or something? What was on your list, and what really blew you away that you didn't think would blow you away?
Well, I have to say I was like surprised at some stuff that came out by like bands that I just wasn't expecting to put music out, not only like this year, but like maybe never again. Like I thought it was like really crazy to see, you know, I mean, well, I'll talk about this a bit when I play the three songs I want to play, but I was surprised to see an album by the Queers. I was surprised to see an album by Slick Shoes. I was surprised to see an album by the Bananas. Like a lot of bands that I used to love when I was a lot younger, like suddenly, you know, like had albums out that that I was like surprised were actually pretty good. You know, with some of these releases, I like kind of rolled my eyes and was like, oh, like really? And then I listened to it and I was like, oh, like you can still write songs, like good on you. But I don't feel like those albums were maybe in response to like this year or the crazy crap that happened to us all. You know, I think those bands had probably been planning on putting this stuff out. At least that's my understanding. Did I answer the question?
By all means, Tom.
Yes.
What were like some of the jams? Like, what were some of the records that really surprised you that were like that good and you didn't expect to be that good? Or what was on the top of, you know, what was hedging and battling for the top of your list?
So the ones that actually shocked me, not the Queers album so much, just because I knew he'd been working. It had been 10 years for a band that used to put out an album every couple of years. So I kind of knew that one was coming. The two that really shocked me were, the first one was X, because I didn't know they were working on anything. So it was first album with the original lineup in 35 years, first studio album in 27 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's really good. I mean, their voices are a little ragged, but I mean, all our voices are a little ragged, right? At some point. And they're, you know, they got to be in their 60s, I would guess. But the album is great. Got a lot of urgency to it. It's got a weird spoken word track at the end that's sort of grown on me, even though I want to not like it. It just was a great, great album. And the other one that I did not see coming at all was the Screeching Weasel album. Because I didn't know they were working on anything, and B, because I never thought they'd make like another great, I'd ever thought they'd make a great post Jughead album, which Jughead was the first run of the band, it was Ben and Jughead, the guitar player. But when Ben put the band back together, there was no Jughead. So I never anticipated a great post-Jughead album, but they made a great album this year. So that was the other one that caught me off guard. I figured I'd like it because I'm such a big fan of the band, but I think it's a genuinely good album.
I was surprised at how many like veterans put out some of their best work ever, in a couple instances, their best work ever. You know, Dan Burt of Chumbawamba put out a record with Tierra Wood Kramer called Mesmerica. Straight up, it is the best Chumbawamba/Chumbawamba-related album since Dan Burt left Chumbawamba in like 2001, 2002. And like, it's double disc. The songs are so amazing. It's a very intricate, detailed release. You can tell he put a ton of work into it, and usually that results in an album that's like over, like bloated and just not that interesting. But the songwriting is just amazing. It's all over the place. That's what really surprised me. What also surprised me on the flip end was KRS-One put out this mixtape called The Block Party, which was literally like, you could tell he recorded it in 20 minutes. It's Kid Capri just doing 1979, 1980, 1981 era beats, you know, chic Fatback bands, Trouble Funk beats, and KRS is just going insane over top of them. And it's one of the best things he's ever done. It just shows how dangerous of an MC he is and how skilled he still is. I think one of the things that really surprised everybody was the Classics of Love EP, which I think Jesse, like 3 years ago, was like, oh, I'm going to put out some music. And I was like, all right. And it never came out or whatever. And then like this year, he's like, I'm going to put out some music like in 3 weeks. And I was like, all right, Jesse. 3 weeks come by and nothing comes out. I'm like, all right, Jesse. And then like 2 weeks later, he's like, here it is. And it's like amazing. It's like, it tore my head off. I don't know. Actually, I do know why. It's cool when bands do the Joe Strummer thing and they get kind of older and they're like, I'm really into music now and composition and roots. And they play like softer and gentler and more poetic. And listen, you can't argue with Coma Girl. You can't argue with Johnny Appleseed. Those are amazing tracks. But then when somebody like Jesse Michaels, who is the age now that Joe Strummer was then, comes out with like his most fired up, like hardcore punk release, you're like, holy shit, this guy's like putting the kids like out to knocking the kids out. You know, it's like, it's just so affirming that here's what it really is. It's a respite of the ever lingering fear of death, in that, you know, the older you get, like the less firepower I have, I'm wearing down the older I get. And then Jesse Michaels comes out and the other guy I'm going to talk about in a second. And they're like, here's the most jacked up release yet. You know, you're like, holy shit. You know, the other guy that was Jello. I mean, honestly, like Jello has the Guantanamo School of Medicine, which I like a lot. The songs are very good, but sometimes they're too long. The new release, which I put at my number one, not only, but mainly because A, it slams so hard, but also it's super political, and C, the music is great, and Jello sounds so fired up. A couple of the tracks might be too long, but it slams so hard, I don't care. It's just affirming that Jello is still like the friggin' champ, and like Jello is Jello. It's not an act. He hasn't really changed his core identity, and it's just like this amazing release. So that, honestly, the Jello release and the Jesse release is what surprised me the most. A couple other like lesser known bands put out some cool stuff. You know, Crazy in the Brains put out an amazing EP called Where the Juice Drips, which is one of their best things yet. Lotion put out an awesome synth punk release. Cassie Ramone dropped the ODC PP punk release, and so some of the kids did put out some cool stuff this year. But for me, it was the veterans that kind of won the year. Adam White, I know you didn't rank your list this year, but was there anything that like really shocked you? And also, Adam, you didn't put Jesse or Jello on your list, which I was surprised by. And you also didn't put Steel Stud, the guy that does Ramones Core tracks about how much he hates My Little Ponies.
I mean, Steel Stud is a glaring, just glaring oversight in my world. No, I mean, that's partly why I didn't, I wasn't initially going to write a list. And like, I was serious about doing that is because my track that I'm on is so myopic. Like, it is so down the rabbit hole or up the butt, however you'd like to say it, right? Of this particular beat that I've been chasing, which is I've been doing my newsletter and writing about this, like this Canadian, you know, garage rock stuff, right? That there's a lot of times where like I will passingly hear something and like it, but then in my mind it doesn't register as like newsletter material for me. So I'm just like, I move on in my life and I go, yeah, that's good, I'll get back to that. And I just don't get back to it. Right. So it's like, you know, so I'll hear a lot of stuff in the context of this show or in the general context of punk news. But like, I won't go back to it in the same way that I'll go back to other things that I'm sort of writing about week on week. So it's partly why I didn't go write my list, because I'm like, what the fuck do I have to say about what was the best stuff in the punk universe this year, where I can't even comment on half of it because I've been like so out in left field with what I've been doing. And that was a big part of why I didn't want to write like a bullshit ranked list and be like, here's the number one punk record that just happened to be from Moose Jaw. Right. Because no, that's totally bonkers as to claim. And I didn't feel like having a conversation with anyone to qualify what I was doing. So yeah, I'm way out there. I'm way off base.
Yeah. But Adam, you must admit that the Spitz release was not only great, it was like way, way better than anybody thought it was going to be. Agree or disagree?
Totally agree. But any spit, like the Spits are one of those like shining light bands that was that I like. I'm convinced that the Spits have never released something that's been truly horrible either, right? Like even when the Spits release a record that sounds like every other Spits record, the sound of every other Spits record is kind of great, so that's fine. And they're playing one of these styles that is like somehow timeless. It's really hard to fuck up something that is based off the Ramones, and I'm, you know.
Oh, you're wrong about that, Adam. I hear it every day.
Like, I don't know. Like I treat bands. That
I think
sound
it's
like
easy.
I don't know. Like I feel like bands that if okay, it, bands that can like credibly do a spin on the Ramones thing. Like I guess I'm sure you can fuck it up, but I guess like the originality argument or anything like that never really clicks in for me. It's like I feel like it's the same way that like people will go and like, you know, watch jazz at like a jazz bar or something like that, where they're not necessarily looking at the player and going that like, this isn't the most original take on this style that I've ever heard. They go and they're like, that was some good jazz. I enjoyed that. And I don't know, so I feel like a lot of these like bands that are riffing on 77 style punk, where I'm not going and being like, you know what? Like the Dead Boys kind of did that years ago. I'm approaching it now more from this like, I'm like, I enjoy this style of music and I enjoy these people playing this style of music at this given point. And I feel like that makes me an atypical music critic because I'm not approaching things completely based on this, based on novelty. I'm approaching things that based on like my enjoyment of the genre. So I don't know that this is why I've backed away from trying to make a lot of pronouncements about what's important or what's good, because I'm all fucked up.
I honestly don't mean this as a diss, but I am surprised and even somewhat confused by the fact that Adam sometimes treats music like a commodity, and that's not an insult. It's just that he and I eat pizza entirely differently, and that's not wrong. You know, I'm just surprised by it, if you will.
Oh, John, I have a theory that would fuck you up that I won't get into on this episode, but oof.
Yeah, we already argued where you said Devo could come from anywhere, and there's a Devo in every town, so Devo's not that special. We fought about that like a year and a half ago to like a standstill.
I don't know if I argued Devo is not that special in particular, because let's all agree that Devo is amazingly special. But no, but the argument was that there's something about sort of like the democratic quality of rock and roll, like that going back to that Ramones idea of rock and roll, which is that this is not a complicated form of music. So, you know, if you can get the basics, it is better if you are some fucked up individual and you can go pick up a guitar and just start doing it. And that quality to it, the fact that it's not a genre that's based on virtuosity, means that you can end up with way more cool stuff that's out there than any one person could conceivably listen to without starting to limit themselves with some artificial constraint like geography or something like that. Because if you approach it and just say, you know what, the bands that I like are, you know, the band, if you approach it and make a list of stuff that was on Epitaph and Fat and all of the, you know, adjunct labels that are trying to be Epitaph and Fat, you've made the same limitation that I'm making based on geography. You're just making it based on bands that can afford PR. But
I see.
Right, but there's. If I threw you to Iceland and I took away a lot of your internet and I'm just be like, you're gonna hang out in Iceland and just listen to like Icelandic punk bands. You're gonna come back by the end of the year and you're gonna be like, here's 10 Icelandic punk bands that I thought were pretty fucking cool and I enjoyed myself listening to. You're not gonna go out and be like, oh, but if only I could have heard the sweet honey of Pennywise this year, they would be the top of my list. But I had to settle for all these Icelandic punk bands. Like, I don't think it works that way.
We don't need to have this extended battle again, but there's only one Jello Biafra. There's only one Nick Blinko. And listen, I've dug deep into music. I've dug so deep into music, I've gone to some questionable areas. I'm like, you know, I don't want to be hanging around here, and kind of noped out of the room. You know what I mean? That's how deep I've gone, you know? And no one hits like Nick Blinko. No one hits like Jesse Michaels. No one hits like Jello. So I just don't agree with that argument. But listen, I disagree with your right with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. But actually, I wouldn't. But not that. But listen, I'll fist fight over that for that principle. I won't die over that principle. That Adam can like.
I'm gonna storm your capital because it's just so easy.
Speaking of storming capitals, and more, what were some of the surprise hits for you? What were some of the big hits? And then play some of them.
Okay. Well, I agree with you completely about Jello and Jesse Michaels. They were amazing. Adam.
Yeah.
They're so good. And the World of Burning Hate EP, I'm going to buy it. But, like, you know how you listen to stuff on Bandcamp and then it tells you, like, support the artist or leave?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I got to that point.
Get out of here, asshole.
So, anyway, so that's that. There were, two bands that I haven't listened to before this year that I probably should have. But this year was, like, the great year to get into them was the Lawrence Arms and Run the Jewels. So both of them are on my list. And it's just kind of like with both of them, it's like they're both really good. And I don't understand why I didn't listen to them sooner. And I think it's just like a time thing, you know? So that was a good thing with this year, got to like listen to so much more. So that, those were surprises at how good they were. And like this fits in really well with the my top or not my top three but three songs I'm gonna play is they all kind of go along with the surprise aspect. But before I get into that, I just want to say two more things, or I want to talk about two more things. So first one is Vile Creature. They are one of my bands of the year. They're so good. I'm not gonna play anything by them because their shortest songs like 7 minutes. But they're like a doom metal band, and they're really, really, really cool. And the other one was so for like my comfort music, I really like Black Sabbath. It really it's a really calming, like, you know, sound and stuff. So I found Emma Ruth Rundle and Thou, and it's a collaborative album, and it's called May Our Chambers Be Full, and it's like, I don't know, it's ambient and it's dark and it's just, it's really, really, really good. They don't sound like Black Sabbath, but like, they're so good. So like, check them out. And then for the three songs I want to play, the first one is called Equip Sunglasses and it's by Hop Mulligan. And they're from Michigan and it's off of their album, You'll Be Fine. And the album came out in March. And at the time it was coming out, like, it was kind of being hyped and stuff. So I was like, I don't know if I want to listen to it. And then I listened to it and I really, really liked it. It was great. And the music video for Equip Sunglasses is also really cool. The guitar player plays a leaf at one point. It's worth checking out. And then the second song is Superiority Complex, Big Noise by Illuminati Hotties. And that's off of Free IH. This is not the one you've been waiting for. So this album came out and it was a total surprise. And like, she was having trouble with her record label and decided to just self-release something. And the whole album's like super experimental and it sounds really cool. And like, one of the songs is just like a radio skit kind of thing. And it's really, really neat. And I'd heard of, like, I'd listened to Illuminati Hotties before, but I wasn't totally sold on them, and then this really sold me on them. And again, I listened to this album a lot, and this song in particular. And my last song that I'm gonna play is by Pink Shift, and they are amazing. If you haven't checked out Pink Shift, please do. They're worth it. They're from Baltimore. And this year they were supposed to release an EP, but because of the virus, you know, everything kind of got turned upside down. But they released some really awesome singles, and this song's called Rainwalk. So just to recap, my songs are Equip Sunglasses by Hop Mulligan, Superiority Complex by Illuminati Hotties, and Rainwalk by Pink Shift. I hope you enjoy them.
looking like you caught a scent. Your girlfriend's asking what's the matter. Lie to her and say I don't know yet. So honey, please, you can keep your distance. I hope you know that I couldn't care less. Roll up your sleeves and take a seat, cause we're gonna be a while yet.
Picks and more. This was your most active year of punk news to date. What did we do well at Punk News and the Punk News Podcast this year, and where can we improve? Where did we really screw the pooch?
I think there was a lot of really interesting stuff on the site this year. I think we did a good amount of news and like an interesting mix of news too. You know, like with bigger bands and smaller bands and kind of spreading that around. So I thought that was really interesting. And then like all the interviews were really, really cool. Like the Jell-O one was really good. Really long, but it was really good. And then Sam did the Women in Music series. And that was really cool, too. Really enjoyed reading that. And all the reviews were I read some reviews and they were really good and they were really cool. And like, it's really interesting when you read a review and you're like, oh, I want to know what this person's talking about. So then you go and you check out whatever they're reviewing, which is really neat. So that happened quite a few times this year. One of the ones that that happened with was Tom, you reviewed The Drowns.
Yes.
So I read that and then I listened to the band and then they're on my list. So that was kind of cool too. So I think
way back in January of last year when we were so hopeful.
Yeah. The spark was still alive. Yeah. So I think we did a lot of things really well. And I'm really glad to be like working with the site, and you know, really excited about that. For stuff like that was done poorly, I can't really think of too much. Like there was the time, or I think twice or three times when the site wasn't working, and that would kind of be about it.
What we did poorly was not have a site. that is true. Well, listen, I think what we did well this year is what we've always done pretty well, is that we've had a good mix of styles. We are very not limiting when it comes to punk. If you say you're punk, and even if you don't say you're punk, we're like, yeah, that's punk to us. That's fine. We don't care. Punk news is always very open-ended. Anybody can write for punk news. I think our reviews are now unquestionably the best punk rock reviews there are on the web or anywhere, really. There used to be some other pretty good ones, but I mean, a lot of publications have kind of folded or whatever. So punk rock wise, I think our reviews are the best. Interviews wise, I think ours are among the best. And I think the core attribute of punk news, or at least as it is now and has been for the past 10 years or so, is if you want to contribute, you can do it. If you want to do something weird, you can do it. If you want to I'll tell you what else we did pretty well is we were pretty regular. We probably weren't quite as jam-packed as we were last year for a couple of different reasons, which I'll get into in a minute. But every day we had news. Every week we had reviews. We had a fair amount of interviews, although we could have had more. And so we kind of just kept grinding through this year of chaos and had some fun stuff, some serious stuff, and a good mix of everything overall, as opposed to other publications which might only have one tone, which maybe isn't a bad thing either. But I do like how Punk News has got a lot of different flavors and is very open-ended. I think what we did poorly this year is we haven't done a reviewer drive in about 2 or even 3 years now. I think we need to bring in some new reviewers just because people move on or whatnot, and so our core submitters are not quite as big as it used to be.
Some of us are getting very old and need to be put out to pasture and let some younger blood in.
Well, actually, that's a point of I think what we need to do is I think we need to get kind of hungry, to the extent that I think we need to look at what publications like Maximum Rock and Roll are doing, or even like Stereo Gum, and see not what is being sent to us from PR companies and a few labels, but what's hot, what's interesting, what's something that's moving the dial for the young people, not the young people, but who's doing something interesting or important. I think we could get a better taste of that. The other thing is Punk News has been doing okay with this, but I think we can do better, is a lot of publications are basically advertisements. They basically just regurgitate PR, and they never say anything negative. And not that I want to be a meanie, because I don't. But a lot of public interviews are basically, let's sell this album together. You know, that's really not what an interview should be. And so I want to do more hard-hitting news. I want to do more, not critical reviews, but reviews. Like, you don't have to review stuff that you know what it is. You can review stuff that you have no idea what it is. And I think that's maybe something our reviewers could understand. I think a lot of our reviewers are great. They're enthusiastic. But I think that they kind of have, okay, I review these three labels. I know these 10 PR people, and that's what I review. I think we need to break out of that and explore other areas and review stuff we're not familiar with, just so we can really – and honestly, that's how you become a better writer. That's how you become a respectable interviewer. If you want to be a writer, if you want to be a reviewer, that's what you got to do. If you just want to be a fan – honestly, that's fine too, and punk news has room for that. But I think for me, the greatest virtue of punk news is you can use it as a platform to build to other things, and I think that's what we could do a lot better at. And that's what I like to do this year. Hallie Bullet, Punk News, the website, Punk News, the podcast. What do we do well? What do we do shitty?
No, I agreed with a lot of what you just said, because I feel like, you know, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I would put in the category of punk that I don't see reviewed on the site, that I feel like, oh, like I would like to see those reviews. I would like to see punk news writers sort of sink their teeth into, I shouldn't reiterate what you said, but just to say that I agree with it. I would love to see more music reviewed and more different kinds of things that fall under the umbrella of punk, reviewed. I think that would be amazing. In terms of the podcast, I love the tone of the podcast. I love that it's like, I like that it's just like different personalities having like a cool, like honest discourse about music. I really like how you and Adam and Tom can disagree with one another, John. I think like there's something so like playful and like yet also like just there's respect under it. And like I guess maybe like for Em and I, like I wonder if there's a way that we can like try to force ourselves to maybe be a part of that. Not that I've listened to every single Em episode, I haven't, but the ones that I've listened to, I'm like, I love your opinions. And I feel like maybe both you and I, because we've been on the podcast for not as long, like, I don't know if we feel comfortable really like jumping in there and like disagreeing, but like, I think that we, you know, I love that part of the podcast so much. So yeah, mostly just to say that that's one thing that I think the podcast really gets right.
Well, Hallie, I think it's like Highlanders, you have to kill one of us to absorb that power that you
so. That's not true, John. I'm like Pope Benedict. I'm actually want to quit while I still have a little bit of life left. You know, like usually the Pope has to die, but I'm the Pope who lived.
Yeah, however, arguably Pope Benedict retired because he was inept and not capable of handling the position, Tom. You know,
when did that stop like, people from taking a job?
Bada bing, bada boom. Adam White, I'm somewhat scared to ask you this question. What did Punk News do well this year? What did we not do well this year?
I don't know. It's a tough thing for me to comment on because on the one hand, I've been around the longest. I've also taken myself out of most of the day to day from it. So I'm very pleased that the site can just sort of run for weeks and months without me having to do much of anything on the front end of it, which is really a testament to what Sam and Em and yourself do.
So that, Sam and Em, Adam, Sam and Em, they are the future of Punk News. I'm telling you, Sam and Em, Em and Sam.
That's all wonderful because I don't have that. Like I used to go, you know, I would have that anxiety where I'd be checking the site every day to make sure that like something was posted. And if it wasn't, I'd have to sit down and like rush write, you know, however many articles that I could to get them up there because there was like a certain standard that needed to be met. But I could honestly go for a week and not look at it right now. And I know it would be fine. And that's great. And that's a good thing. The one thing that I wonder, and you alluded to this as you've been talking about PR, and I know this has been something that's been that bugs you, is that we, by the virtue of the fact that Punk News is this sort of like strange animal of a publication, we don't have a lot of the motivators that other publications have. I mean, the primary one is that no one's getting paid for this shit, right? So no one has a paycheck that they're trying to make. Like you write more articles, you're not getting any money because you're not getting any money, right? So there's that aspect of it that takes that out of the equation. But furthermore than that, there's no way, because Punk News is basically owned by a mysterious Svengali that you know, shows up on the top of a mountain once every 6 years and says something obscure and then vanishes.
He's putting out a movie and then we never see the movie and that's it.
Yeah. Right. because that's the ownership structure of Punk News, where it's basically owned by like Aubin that owns Punk News is someone that is, he was from the, like the late 90s tech world. And he's sort of like aged out of being a day-to-day music writer anymore. So he just sort of like keeps.
You mean a year-to-year music writer?
Adam? A year-to-year. He just keeps the site going because it's easier than not keeping it going. But he's otherwise not involved, right? And I can say that because I know he'll never listen to this, right? Abba's not involved at all. So it makes this strange combination of factors where, on the one hand, as Em said, sometimes the site will stop working, and you know we have to basically like throw rocks at Aubin's window until we can wake him up so he can do something about that, because it's not in our control to do anything about that. But the flip side of that coin is that because we don't have that much control, there are things that we don't know that everyone else in other publications would know. So none of us, myself included, know what the site traffic is. We don't know how many people look at any individual article or review. Like there's no counters. There's none of that stuff. So when you hear a lot of other publications will be criticized because they've written like clickbait or something like that, Well, like clickbait doesn't really make any sense in our world because we don't have any measurable way of knowing what people are looking at, right? Like
the comment section
yeah. is the best we have right now. And that's usually, did we piss anyone off or is anyone mad at us, right? But like we can't even rely on saying, oh, this got a lot of likes on Facebook because Facebook fucked up all of its algorithms in the past few years. So they either don't share our stuff at all or they don't share our stuff because we're not paying them to, right? So there's not a lot of motivation to, there's no incentive to do anything that the other people on the internet are doing. So with that said, we could be more weird. Like we could do more things that there would be a disincentive to do at a publication that has all those sort of standard metrics that they're trying to meet and stuff like that. And it means that we can write a lot more things that are just the result of passion projects or things that we like. Like if John is very enamored with the Guantanamo School of Medicine and you have it in you to transcribe Jello speaking for 6 hours, you can go and you can make that happen and put it on, and no one is going to edit it for length, and no one's going to claim, oh, we can't write that because we covered Jello recently, or oh, we know that the Jello articles don't pull in the clicks or whatever. Like you can just go do your thing and put it up, and it's not motivated by anything else than the fact that you wanted to do it. So that's kind of cool. Like that is something that we could use more to our advantage. And that I'd like to see like more young writers coming in. And, you know, if you come in and you get an itch and you say, you know what, I really want to write about, you know, like punk rock from Prince Edward Island, because that's what Adam says is cool. Then like you could go do that. And there's no one that's going to necessarily get their nose out of joint because you're not writing about the new NoFX record. So, you know, that's both an advantage of the weird way that punk news continues to exist. It's also a criticism in that we're not more weird, but we could be.
Adam, I'm sorry. Someone was saying something. Was that Hallie?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, like, given that nobody does make a paycheck off of punk news, I'm, like, consistently so impressed that there's just so much news is actually covered. And stuff that's like punk tangential, like, you know, so I would say like maybe the opposite of what I was saying about the reviews, the news, I feel like just covers like a lot of stuff. I'm like always impressed with like how many different kinds of stories from the music world have gotten covered. And I am always like sitting there, like shaking my head and being like, I don't know where you guys like find the time. I don't know where you find the time given that you all have like other actual job. Okay. That's all I wanted to say. John, go on.
Well, thank you for saying that, Hallie. Adam, you know, we haven't really had a dogfight with anybody in 3 or 4 years at this point. And I'm not even really jonesing for one anymore. Are we getting old or are we getting wise?
I think, yes. We are getting old. I mean, by wise, you could replace wise with tired, I guess. It's like we don't.
Well, that's the same as old.
Is that the same as old? like there are certain things that like, that, you know, I definitely don't feel like wasting my time getting into anymore with people. And it, I mean, but partly the fact that like punk news is this strange volunteer thing is that I'm not going to go put my ass on the line for this website at the moment. So I'm not going to go get in a fight with someone. But I think it's also just that like a lot of the people that were doing what we did aren't there anymore. And you know, the competition, if you want to call it that, are establishment things, right? They are, you know, the people that are out there that are writing in the same ballpark of stuff that we are either places that are like proper moneyed publications that do have to worry about all that shit that I talked about, your Brooklyn Vegans of the world and the rest of it, right? Or they're some adjunct of an existing magazine brand, so you have your Razor Cakes and stuff, but who else is there, right? Like there's, you know, the people that I'm sure like blogs and stuff like that start up and fall apart all the time, but like they don't have longevity that we do. And that's not like a virtue of us either. Like we're a strange zombie of a thing that continues to exist. Like you couldn't go start a punk news today with the same group of people and expect it to last there is something about the name recognition of punk news and the fact that it's been around for 20 years at this point that sort of keeps it going. And every time that I personally think that, like, oh, okay, like, I'm done here, I should pull away and go find my own boat to row, you know, I'll get an email from some band that desperately wants to, you know, to get a song exposed or out there or something like that. And like, I'll throw them a bone with all of my normal, like, mental caveats in mind about it. I'm like, ooh, okay, like, yeah, I'll write this punk news story about your single that's coming out, but, you know, punk news is past its prime, and I don't know if anyone's going to read this, and the site's kind of ugly, and I don't have that much control, and I can't tell you how much anyone's ever going to read it, and, you know, blah, blah, blah about why we suck. But then the band is super stoked that punk news has posted about their thing. And, like, that still means something to someone for reasons I haven't quite grasped, but it does. So,
probably, well, because we have some great editors and reviewers and interviewers, Adam, that put their time and hard work and effort in for free to do interesting, unusual, and stuff that you want to see in other places. That might have something to do with it.
Or it could be that despite the best efforts of the current editors and reviewers, the amazing glow of the Adam White glory years of punk news have not been diminished.
Could be. But there is something to that, Adam, because I'll like, occasionally one of these upstart type sites will try to poach me. Hey, you know, come work, you know, come write for us. Cause I've gotten the habit of writing. I'm always in the process of writing something. It's like, I almost can't look at anything without thinking about how to write about it. It's like a disease, really. And I go, okay, this is really cool. I like your site. It looks nice. It's fun. But, you know, you have 3,000 Facebook followers and Punk News has like 80,000. It's like, if I'm going to take the time to write this, you want it to be read by as many people as possible, right? And I think that's one of the big things for me, is I know more people ultimately at the end of the day are reading Punk News than the new upstart, you know, that maybe is a little glossier or a little better looking. So anyway,
plus we'll mow over them like we mow over the rest, Tom.
And they won't last. You're right, because it's hard, man.
Who should we fight with next? And what do we do well this year? And what do we do poorly this year?
I, as far as what we did well and what we did poorly, I've been involved with the site for a number of years now, and nothing really stands out in either of those directions. I think, like Adam kind of alluded to, I think our ability to keep chugging along is probably the most impressive aspect of it. And, you know, we've had some internal changes, and God knows we've had a lot of people come and go, and we got a lot of millennials who are barely productive at all, but still we managed to, you know, sort of put this thing together. And I think that in itself is its own virtue. So I don't really have an answer for that, John. You know, at the beginning of the year,
one millennial that has been extremely productive and is bringing a new taste to the site, Tom, and her name is M. Moore.
M, I think M's too young to be a millennial. I think she's like a Gen Z.
Fair enough. You win that one, Thomas.
I'm not embarrassing you to ask you how old you are you?
Am I'm 21.
Okay, so you're the same age as my oldest son.
So Gen Z.
Yeah. So I've been trying to. It's funny, John, because, you know, I've been saying for the last couple of years that I'm like, last year, 2020, I'm like, this is the year. I mean, I always want to be a little bit involved. I've really enjoyed my time at Punk News. I don't really feel like the need to leave. What I'd like to do is like go into like an emeritus position where I can still occasionally chuck something out there, but don't really have to do the day-to-day work. But then 2020 came along and I still, you know, it's like, I still find myself writing. I'm like, well, here I am stuck at home, you know, for getting paid to sit home. I might as well write some reviews. So I've been trying to kind of retire, but it's funny. I've tried to retire from like punk rock before, but I do feel it's sort of like the mafia, where it's like, you know, I keep trying to leave, but it keeps dragging me back in. And there's just something that keeps bringing me back time and time again. So I've sort of like given up on the idea of retirement. Like, I just figure I'll always be involved in the scene at some level. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll write 50 reviews this year or if I'll write 10 reviews this year. So we'll see what happens.
Well, fair enough and well said. Halle Bullet, let's play some tunage. What do you got in the chamber?
I've got like three songs that just are like songs that I didn't already play this year, because I really like a lot of the stuff that I played already on the podcast this year. A lot of those were like my absolute, absolute favorite songs. But there's definitely some stuff I didn't get to. I will say of the three songs I'm going to play, none of these bands have women in them, which is unusual for me because I love music by women. And so I do want to just give a shout out. I'm still just loving everything that Gladdy is putting out, just loving, you know, and they just, you know, in addition to the full length that they put out earlier, they just came out with an EP that's got some great songs on it. Everyone knows, but that's Augusta from Cayetana. That's her newer band that's just like been crushing it this year. I listen, a lot of the music by women that I really love this year was actually definitely more like indie rock. Like I listened to a lot of Waxahachie and I listened to a lot of Phoebe Bridgers. That's not necessarily like stuff that we need to cover on punk news, but going back to what, you know, like stuff that I think we could do better. I do sometimes feel like a pressure to make sure that I'm playing music by women on the podcast, because sometimes I feel like if I didn't play music by a woman, that there wouldn't be any music by women in that episode. Does that sound like fair to you guys, or recognizable as like a criticism?
Sure. I mean, that's a valid criticism of,
it's
like
kind
rock
of like how Adam
general.
Plays. Adam plays all Canadian bands, and I play a lot of Midwestern bands. I think it's okay to sort of, you know, I think it's okay to sort of, you know, champion that a cause.
Yeah. But like I said, I love music by women. So I am often like really glad and happy to show up and be the person that's
playing. I mean, I doubt you're going to pick out a like, wait, there's a song by a woman that I really don't like, but it is by a woman, so I'm going to play it anyway, right?
That's true. I would not do that. So that all that being said, I also, John Gentile, you actually have turned me on to a ton of music by women that I wouldn't have known about otherwise. So I do, like, not, you know, not to say that you guys don't listen to music by women. You definitely do. And promote it. I feel like you, yes, and I do like that band, but I feel like I know you listen to Gladdy. I know that you support that band. Yeah. The Head Coats. You're like always promoting that band. Like,
it was a female frontman band from Philly that you were hammering on for a long time too, John. I can't remember the name, but
well, there was Posers. There was Pushing It to the Limit. Posers. A lot. Anyways, I didn't mean to derail you. Go ahead.
No, you didn't at all. And also, John Gentile, my band. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, you've been a, like a big supporter of my bands, and I'm a woman, so it's like I've experienced that like firsthand. That you like really do like you get out, you go to shows, you support bands. I don't know. Whatever. You're awesome.
Thank you. Pick up on Punk News mixtape, the My Org mixtape, I believe. Mm-hmm. No, the Band in DC mixtape. That's where Hiccup is. Yes.
So these are my three songs. I love a band that I feel like I think Punk News folks would love, but I just don't see like written about on the site or definitely not reviewed, is Vacation from Cincinnati. And, you know, they put stuff out on Don Giovanni. They've put stuff out on Dead Broke Records, which is Mike from Iron Sheik, that's his label, and Let's Pretend Records, which I talk about a bunch on the podcast, because that's like one of my favorites. But I think Vacation is just like really so fun. Like it lives exactly at the crossroads of like pop punk and garage rock in that space that's like just my sweet spot. And they put out a tour cassette this year that like literally their description of it was that they put it out because they had excess fat stored in the brain. Like that was, it was just to them, it was just like putting out songs that they had like worked on but never really recorded, and they just kind of wanted to just like bleh, just like get them all out there on this tour tape. And it's so good. Like it's so great. And I love a lot of the songs on this. This tour cassette is called The Jingoist Diaries. It came out obviously or very early in this year, if they thought they were going to be touring. It came out in February. There's so many songs off this tape that I would play, but I really like this, the song Mortality. So let's play that one. I mentioned slick shoes before, which will probably get a chuckle because I don't, it's definitely not the kind of music that I listen to really anymore, and definitely not the kind of music that I've played a lot of on the podcast. But I used to love me some slick shoes, like in the late 90s. And, you know, sort of similar to like when I used to listen to MXPX in like the mid to late 90s. Like, I think I originally didn't know that some of these bands were like Christian bands. And I think a lot of the songs that I thought were about girls, like that I'd be singing along to, were actually like about Jesus.
You think Chick Magnet was about Jesus? I don't think so.
I don't think Chick Magnet was about Jesus, but I do think that they had several songs that were, that I felt a little duped when I realized. I was like, wait a minute. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with Christian rock. Like, sing about whatever you want to sing about, but it is funny to realize you've been singing along to something that is like about a thing you just do not believe in. It's like a little weird. It's a weird feeling. But I have a lot of love for Slick Shoes. They put out this album this year that I know got reviewed on the punk news site, and I think the reviewer liked it as much as I do. You know, they haven't put out anything since like 2003, and I just like gave it a listen just for like old time's sake. I was like, well, that's funny for that band to be putting out music now. And I just thought it was like actually pretty good. It still had all the elements of like their music that I liked back in the day. The song I want to play is called "The Worlds Were Mine." And I'm telling you, the guitar part in this chorus is just so like, it's criminally hooky. It's so hooky. Like it could nearly make me believe in Jesus. Maybe I don't know. It's just so good. So yeah, I like that song a lot. And then, you know, this is like definitely pushing it in terms of like, is it punk or is it not? But I would not be being true to myself if I did not play a song off of the Ceiling Fans' self-titled cassette, which was just my favorite release this year. And I didn't play anything off of it. I think I mentioned it on the podcast, but I didn't feel bold enough to play it because it really is like, it really is new wave. But this was, I don't know, this was my jam all year. It's like melodic and fun and somehow simultaneously like soothing. It's like very like, the songs are very like smooth. They're very like smooth in that new AV way. So I'm just going to play this. And I think, you know, I don't know, my husband listens almost exclusively to punk, and he loved this stuff when I played it for him. So hopefully some listeners will get something out of this. This is the Ceiling Fans doing JoJo.
are back. This is going to be our final section, and I'm sad. The end of the year wrap-up episode is always one of my favorite episodes of the year, and we're almost done. We just have our last section.
Actually, it's not true, John. You and I both have to play our songs yet.
I know, but that's going to be the last thing. So let's talk about that. Tom,
2021. Are they together? Oh, sorry.
Together, for just the two of us. Just you and
getting Tom. Closer all the time.
Yes.
Bill Withers. Tom, what are you looking forward to in 2021? What do you think is going to be popping? What's going to be cool? And what's your forecast for 2021? Let's not make a prediction because we don't want to jinx ourselves. So what's your prediction for 2021 in general, Tom? And what music are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I definitely am not going to make a prediction because I remember this so clearly. My boss is actually one of my very best friends, right? And I remember at the end of 2019, sticking my head in his office and we're just shooting the shit like we always do. And I said, man, I have such a good feeling about 2020. And then, you know, when the spring came around and I was like a pig in slop. I had tickets, John, for
Sloppy Seconds.
I was going to go see Sloppy Seconds two nights in a row, Chicago and Green Bay. I had tickets for the Queers. I had tickets for the Subhumans. I had tickets for GBH MDC. I spent weeks and months and hours getting refunds on tickets because I had so many tickets. And I was literally crowing about how many tickets. I was like, oh, there's so many good shows. I don't think I can go to every single one, you know? And so I definitely am going to temper my sort of dreams for this year. I think there will be shows. At the end of the day, I think punk rockers are creative. And I think they'll figure out ways to do shows. And I think there'll be outside shows and things like that. And I'm going to go real old school here. And I'm going to get philosophical. And a lot of you are going to think I'm full of shit. Probably all of you will think I'm full of shit because you're all from a different generation than me. But I think that punk could use a good purge. Because I think it's been too long since you had to give your pound of flesh to be a punk rocker. Like, even when I was a kid in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a chance that you would get your ass kicked for being into punk rock. But then when the 90s came around, it kind of became that whole, like, Fat Records, Vans, Warped Tour kind of punk rock where you could sort of go to high school and hang your head. You didn't have to hang your head anymore. And it was, like, sort of like it was legitimate sort of subculture. So I think punk rock will survive, and it might even thrive, and it might even get better to go back underground a little bit to become more legitimate. So that's my projection for 2021. That's my hope.
And more. I actually think punk rock is kind of getting a bit more underground because as there's more and more. Well, actually, I don't. I think things are getting much more fluid. And that genre distinctions are almost meaningless in 2021 in the current era. And more.
Not to me, man.
Fair enough. And more, what are you looking forward to? And what's your prediction? What bands, what records are you looking forward to? And what's your prediction for 2021?
Okay. Well, at the beginning of 2020, I kind of did the same thing. I had these huge plans. And, like, I was going to try to set up road trips with friends and try to, like, go to a lot of shows. Because I was thinking about it. And the last concert I went to was The Dirty Nil with Single Mothers, and it was November 2019. Mm. And at the beginning of 2020, I was just getting over like really bad pneumonia. So like I hadn't like set anything up. So that was kind of good. I had one concert lined up, but that wasn't for a long time. That was that's rescheduled. So for 2021, my prediction is I'm going to do goals, like achievable goals. And they are, I want to get more involved with punk news and I need to get a Twitter account. And those are my two goals for the year.
You know, those seem attainable.
You can achieve one of those goals like while you're on the call.
But it's funny. I actually feel worse for people your age, Em, just because I'm like, I've had bad years before. Like, I can miss a year. It's not that big a deal, right? But, like, my high school kids and my college-age kids, man, it sucks. It sucks
to lose a year. Yeah, it sucks, man.
It sucks to lose a year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I've been preparing for this my whole life. My house is just crammed with books and records. Like, I really have been, like, pandemic planning my whole life without even realizing it, you know? But I still got a little restless. But yeah, I feel bad for kids. You know, it's like, how do you date now? How do you, you know, my, I got kids that play sports. It sucks, man. It really sucks.
How did you see your week when your entire high school goes down to the beach for a week after graduation and it's the best week ever? And yeah.
Well, and I have kids, you know, like my son's looking at the wrestling season and he has to wear like a Lucha Libre mask to That's wrestle.
Cool. That's cool.
Well, yeah. But it's hard to breathe. Wrestling is very difficult.
Hallie, what are you looking forward to in 2021? What cool records and what's your prediction for the year?
I don't even know what records are coming out.
I'm with you. I haven't heard any like previews.
Well, but it sounds like you have your, like, you pay attention to that stuff more than I do, right, Tom? Because you were like, you knew that Queers album was coming out. I just don't pay attention. Like, I know, I hear things once they're out and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Or like, oh, this sucks. Like, I'm not like up on my perch. Like, I'm not like on the mast. Like, what is that called? The guy who's like up the mast, like looking for things out at sea and trying to see what's coming. I'm not like, ahoy there, matey, here comes the Queers album. Like, I have no idea. Yeah. So I don't know. I want to think that 2021 is going to be better, but I don't have high hopes right now. And I'm sorry, that's such a grim thing to say, but I'm just, you know, I think if I just keep my expectations low, then maybe I can be pleasantly surprised.
I think that's a good approach.
You know, mentally, I'm a superstitious person, probably too superstitious. And I go back and forth as to, you know, if you want something to happen, think it over. I mean, think about it. And I feel like I've done, the best example I can think of is records. And this is going to sound insane, but like, there are records where, like, I'll read about a record, I'm like, oh, that sounds really cool. And then I'll think about it in the back of my – and it's like a super rare record. I'll think about it in the back of my mind, not directly. If you think about it directly, then it doesn't – but if you think about it in the back of your mind, and you're at a record convention, and then like in at a record convention in Lancaster, there's like this super obscure record for like $7 that like you desperately want and can't get anywhere. And there it is for $7. It's like, what are the chances, you know? And so sometimes I'm super sure that if you want something to happen – think about it, you know, force it to happen mentally. But then sometimes I'm like, well, if you expect something to happen, you're going to jinx it. And so you shouldn't expect for anything to happen. And that's how you make stuff happen. So I don't even know. I don't want to say hoping, but it would be very cool if we got to do, I would be very happy. Well, it would be very cool if we got to do Punk News Summer Soiree 5 this summer. Soiree 4 is going to post online in about a week or so. And it is extremely cool. But it's a video. It's not a live show. You know, what can we do? You know, but I really, really want to do Punk News Summer Soiree 5 this summer. I've got insane ideas, and it'd be really cool if it happened. Because, you know, five's a big number. It's half a 10. It's 1/20th of 100. So I've got some cool ideas, and it'd be really cool if we could do that. So I've got some crazy ideas. Anyways, hopefully Summer Soiree 5 will happen this summer. Records, I can say, man, there's a lot of records that are coming out or that might come out in 2021 I'm super pumped about. A little birdie told me Black Dahlia is working on a solo album, and another little birdie told me it is unexpected but extremely excellent. Brad Logan of Leftover Crack has been working on some stuff, and another little birdie told me it's actually like going to like blow people's minds. Other than that, like Dark Web in Philadelphia's put out some cool stuff. The Melvins are putting out a bunch of stuff as always, and I'm super psyched about that. So I wish I could talk about the hit new bands, but I don't know about that much about the hit new bands because, you know, I haven't seen them live. So hopefully I'll get to see a bunch of hit new bands this upcoming year. But as for me, Blag, Brad Logan, the Melvins, a lot of stuff I'm super psyched about already coming out this year. Adam White, what's your projection for 2021? What are you excited about?
I don't have a lot of hopes at the moment. I'm going to be the downer on this, I guess. I mean, the one thing that is good is that there is a way out of this, right? We all know the way out of this. And
suicide?
Well, that's one way. But the
send the Punk News Podcast $25. That's $25 to podcast.
people should be sending the Punk News Podcast $25. I mean, and if you are nearing the end of your life, hopefully by natural means and not by your own hand, you should send the Pumpkins podcast much more money than yes. that.
Because don't forget when you're settling your estate, don't forget the Pumpkins podcast.
Yeah, I'm just saying it should be in your will. No, but the
what if some like Great Gatsby type that was like 97 and he's like, and I will my entire estate to the Pumpkins podcast to make excellent programs.
I'm trying to get out of this part of the conversation because someone's going to send us a letter about us making light of suicide. No, but the. So we know the
I don't think we're making light of suicide so much as we're trying to be great.
All right, that's what I'm saying.
We're not making light of it as much as acknowledging that in 2020 it seemed like a viable option.
We're just acknowledging that we want your money, and we're not too particular about how that happens. Now, it's like we know the way out of this is that we have to get a significant number of the population vaccinated. So we know the vaccines are there. We know the vaccines work. So that's it's just like now it's just numbers. We got to get them manufactured and we got to get them out there and we got to get them to the people that need to get them. So then it just becomes this like this.
But now we have super COVID, Adam. Did you see there's some
fuck like... super COVID? We'll be over that, right? So it's all just now a matter of how fast can we all make that happen? So then we get out of the realm of like amazing science because amazing science has proved itself. And now we get into the realm of stupid logistics run by idiots. And unfortunately, the people that are going to be in charge of deciding who gets the vaccines and putting them in trucks and bringing them places and like administering a queue of people and all that boring shit, they're way less smart than the scientists that came up with the damn thing. So I have this bad feeling that it's going to be a summer a lot like the last summer, which is like we're going to be probably, you know, the number of deaths will go down or whatever because we'll get all those old bastards, you know, all the Tom Traumas of the world. They'll all get their vaccines and stuff like that. But we're not
You guys, man. Once summer hits, I'm good. I got right? a pool. You guys can all come down. I buy gin by the half gallon.
Right.
But come on down.
But we're not going to get to the point that the people that have gone and said, you know, you can't have shows and you can't have festivals and all that and the other. That's not going to get resolved as fast as I think anyone would like because of all these like stupid human logistics problems are going to get in the way of it. So in my head, I'm mentally preparing myself for all my fun summer things that couldn't happen in 2020. I'm girding myself that they ain't going to happen in 2021 either. But I have some slim hopes that, you know what, some of those September, October things, it'd be really nice if those could happen. And so that's what I'm waiting for. Like, I would love if there was some like Herculean effort where like, you know, all the government people, you know, pulled their shit together and fucking moonshot us to get everyone adequately vaccinated as fast as humanly possible. And it was this incredible achievement, but I don't have that much faith in people getting things done in an adequate stance. So I don't know. That's where I am. As for what's coming out from like a music standpoint, I don't fucking know. I don't know. I'm
14 new Daniel Romano albums, no doubt.
I mean, he's probably recording 14. He's probably like sitting on 14 because he didn't try to rush too many out at a time. So outside of Danny, who's predictable like a clock at this point, I don't know. I'm worried that we might hit a dry spot because I'm worried that we might get to a point where we're like a lot of the records that came out this year, it's sort of clear how and why they put together. And this is actually how I structured my whole best of list, if anyone bothered to read that monstrosity, which is that there was all these people that had stuff recorded and that was going to come out one way or the other right at the start of the year in March, April, May, right? So those things came out because like the marketing plans were in motion. And then we got into the summer and everyone was just stuck in their homes and like recording like shitty, weird basement things. And that was fine and fun for a while, but I don't know if that starts to peter out as like the grind of this really sets in. And then we had people that had completed records and they waited until the fall, like in this vain hope that maybe things would get better and they could get out and they could tour behind them. But that didn't happen. So what do you do? Do you sit on a completed record for 2 years or you just like put it out and hope that, you know, the internet is nice to you? And it seems like that's what a lot of people did. So I don't know what happens when it is when it's March of 2021 and, you know, the bands are no longer sitting on something. So if they're going to make something new, it's either something that they recorded like strictly in these remote contexts, which is maybe not great, or it's or it's what, or it's something that they just like they physically could not get, like they could not go into the studio, they could not get together, they didn't have anything sitting there. Like, I don't know what happens then. You know, I don't know if there's even if they could pull it off, for some of these small bands that make zero money on doing anything but touring, I don't know if the motivation is suddenly going to evaporate where they say, like, you know what, fuck recording something and releasing it in the spring if we know we're not going to be able to get out and support it. Let's just wait. Like, we'll just, you know, we'll gamble with doing it in the fall. And that might happen. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm fully optimistic that we will get out of this, John, but I'm not optimistic that it's going to happen with the rapidity that we want.
Listen, Adam, if in order to have Summer Store A5, we need people to drive door to door delivering vaccine, I'll do it, Adam. I'll quit my job. I'll say, listen, if Summer Store A5 is going to happen, who needs to get shot up? You know, and if it's got to be low grade vaccine or something, no problem. I'll mix it up my house. Yeah, it's, bring it on over.
Dilute it 50% with water. Then you have twice as much.
Just make it in the
Tom,
garage.
Tom, why don't you play some tracks and then we'll come back and then I'll play some tracks and then we'll wrap this end of year, beginning of year special on up. So, Tom, what do you guys play?
All right. So anyway, listen, I'm about 6.5 years in now to this punk news adventure, and like I said, I actually kind of planned on really scaling back in 2020. I was going to go into like a semi-retirement, but then, you know, the year turned out so screwy that I ended up being, you know, a contributing member, maybe not as much as I have in some years, but you know, more than most of the kids still. So I've enjoyed my time very much with Punk News, and I'm sure I'll still be around in some capacity, but I would really, in a perfect world, would like to focus on some other projects. So if you don't hear me as much, guys, it doesn't mean I don't love you anymore. It just means I got to work on some other stuff. So, anyway, and I know a lot of you have already followed me, but I am doing another podcast called Punk Till I Die, which is under the Punk News umbrella. And we talked to a lot of interesting people, do some cool stuff. It's not the same as this podcast, and it wasn't intended to be a competition with this podcast. It's not like news based, but anyway, so check us out over there. That's my little commercial. But as far as my favorite records this year, I had a ton of favorites this year. And as a matter of fact, and I'm sure John can probably relate to this, and maybe Adam too, I probably bought more vinyl this year than I have since I joined like RCA Record Club in 1987 or something. I mean, I bought a ton of stuff. And the first song I'm going to play is... I can't remember what order I was going to put them in. Okay. First, this is a band from Pittsburgh that I never... really wasn't familiar with at all. They've been around for almost 20 years. We interviewed the singer and he was a super good guy. And this is kind of a greasy rock and roll style punk. They sort of look like a bunch of like biker dudes, but they play an amazing, great rock and punk and roll type style. They're called the Cheats. They're from Pittsburgh. This first song is called Stabbed in the Heart. The next song is by a long-running Southern California band called Gross Polluter. Many years ago in the 90s, there was a popular Southern California band called Smogtown, and they never really got out of Southern California, but they definitely have a cult following, and they were huge among the skaters. But that same band kind of became Gross Polluter later with a couple of membership changes. So we're going to play a sad song by Gross Polluter. This is from their 2020 album, The People Get What the People Get. And the Cheats album, by the way, to backtrack, is called Cussing, Crying, and Carrying On or something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, so the name of the album is The People Get What the People Get. And the song is actually kind of a sad song about drug addiction, but it's just so catchy. It'll get stuck in your head for weeks. It's called Sleepless City. And then last but not least, we're going to get to John's favorite band, Screeching Weasel. Is that beef officially settled, John, or no?
It's settled in that we clearly won, and everyone agrees that we won, so I'm not going to go back and pick up a defeated foe. I'll just let them die in the road.
I think you're overestimating how many people know / care about that little rivalry, but that's all right.
I had people in the street talking to me about it, Tom. But the street. Yeah, man.
The street. That's where the beat is at. The beat is on the street. All right, so... So I was shocked by how good the Screeching Weasel album was. I'm a big fan, so I was probably going to like it either way. I mean, I sort of like that last like bloated rock opera album they put out. I didn't think it was amazing, but I thought it was okay. But I really like this album, and I think a lot of it definitely was affected by the fact that I had a ton of time. Like I said, I kind of had a job change where I was kind of around the office all the time, and I was able to listen to a lot of music. But I just can't say enough about this album. And I'm going to play a song that I could pick any of them, honestly. The album is great. But we are going to... So one more word about Screeching Weasel. Obviously, they're kind of a controversial band. Ben is... He seems like he's kind of right-wing, and he's... You know, he had that, you know, slight incident where he punched a couple of women who were assaulting him, for being fair, or he thought were assaulting him. But it was a bad situation. And he has sort of, I think, rather than just sort of apologize and do the fake apology thing like most modern punk rockers do whenever they get in trouble, he just sort of doubled down on like being a heel and just sort of has become like a WWF style heel. And I think he sort of relishes being the bad guy. But the fact of the matter is, you're sort of, much like a Joe Queer, like if you write him off because you don't like his politics, you're definitely, it's your own loss, because these guys still write amazing songs. Joe Queer can still write a better pop song than most of the garbage you hear on the radio. And this new Weasel album is great. So we're going to play, it's called Some Freaks of Atavism. This, we'll play Brain in a Jar. That's all I got to say about that. We'll be right back.
that's all I have to say about that, Lieutenant Dan. And so, listen, I'm going to play a couple of tracks, or three tracks. Listen, Jello Biafra, he put out the third GSM album. It's fantastic. It's Biafra at his most Biafrian. As always, my favorite tracks are the ones where he gets like personal and tells you about what's going on on inside. The first track from that is going. I'm going to play is Vince Lombardi, which I'm pretty sure is about Jello talking about how he was terrible at sports. And I like if you ask Jello about his early years, he'll talk about it, but only vaguely. And if you ask him, well, were you bullied? He like dodges that question, and I think it's because he was actually bullied like pretty severely. Sadly. But you can tell that like, he's the kind of person that probably would get bullied a lot. And so he's related this tale whereas he hated sports, but he realized if he played as terribly as he could at sports, then they would leave him alone because they wouldn't want him to ruin the game. And so he's got this song called Vince Lombardi, which is about that, but I think it's also about how that mindset leads to capitalism out of control, or you know, profit at all costs, even at the expense of our fellow human being. So the entire album rocks. This track is Vince Lombardi. After that, I'm going to play Danbert and Kira Wood Kramer. This is I was going to play Building a Wall, but it's 7 minutes long, and I played it before, even though it's an amazingly sounding track. So instead, I'm going to play the song called Crazy Demons Play, which this is probably Danbert and Kira's strength. Is Danbert's been doing this for years and years, and then he'll take a very serious topic and keep the seriousness in it, but he'll also have a certain whimsy and playfulness and joy in the music, and that's one of the ways why he's uniquely talented. So I'm going to do Crazy Demons Play by Danbert and Kira, and then the last track I'm going to play, Jesse Michaels, Classics of Love, an amazing track. I'm going to play the first track off the EP, World of Burning Hate, just because it's a slam track, and Classic of Love is amazing. And then after that, we will be back, and we will wrap up this episode.
Playmates with a fire in our our souls, going out on a limb, tapping into an energy that's older than history. Given half a chance, we play. William Shakespeare did it as a kid, at some point carrying on, defying forces who only ever want more obedient workers. 'Cause a system of government wedded to vested interests can't imagine anything else or any other way, and least of all play. So we tap into an energy that's older than history. Given half a chance, we play. Going even further back, way back into the paleological record, the story of evolving doing it and enjoying it and sharing it and pushing it and loving it and all the while laughing at the rest for its own sake, 'cause it feels good, the endorphin rush, 'cause it's nature's way of sharpening our wits by tapping into an energy that's older than history. Given half a chance, we play. Loosening the creative spark, the mother of the mother of invention. Playing its elaborations we call art. Imagination and creativity somewhere in Neuro Circuit City. Crazy demons wired on organic electricity, coming up with crazy ideas, stumbling upon possible solutions and testing them out.
And we're back. And more. Any closing statements? Anything you want the listeners to know? And here we are. We made it through another year, and we're going to make it through another. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Knock on the wood. Make sure everything, you know, everything's all set. The light is at the end of the tunnel. We're going to make it through this. There's going to be lots of cool stuff this year, hopefully. One thing that I forgot to mention, too, is for upcoming albums, Londe Hecht from Muncie Girls, her solo album's out on the 22nd of January. So that's exciting.
Tom, anything you want the listeners to know about, anything you want to mention before we wrap up this year and kick off the new?
No. Thanks for the last many years. It's been fun. I don't think you've heard the last of me yet, even as I sort of try to fade into the sunset. So that's it.
Hallie Bullitt, is there a way that you can sum up your previous year experiences and your future hopes for the next year within 2 to 3 to 4 sentences? Is that possible?
Nope.
Thank you. Good night.
No, I can't.
I'm sorry.
I can't sum anything up. It's too late for my tired brain. And but it's like been so fun talking to you guys this year. And I like that. I don't know. I like getting to talk about music. That's not something that I've ever done in any official capacity. I've just made music and I've bullshitted with my friends about music. So yeah, thanks for the opportunity to talk about music. It's rad.
Word. Adam White, I'll hand it to you to shut this bad boy on down. What words of wisdom do you have to impart to our young and impressionable listeners?
Oh, okay. I didn't think of this. So I really wanted to end this show by just saying, well, I think our listeners should stand back and stand by. And I was just gonna leave it like that, but then no one's gonna interpret that in the dark, funny way that I want that to be. People are gonna be like, "What the fuck?" So I can't. So.